Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to be talking about the Kingdom of God again. And we were talking about diverse lusts, and we haven't really got into that deep because we're talking about this delusion that modern Christians have. Modern Christians being Christians that are not really the Christians of the early church. They're not like them. They aren't doing what they were doing. They're doing something else, and they don't know they're doing something else because their preachers aren't telling them, and their preachers aren't telling them because they don't know, and they all don't know because they've spent the last 2,000 years trying to reinvent Jesus Christ using the Bible to reinvent Jesus Christ by slightly altering the meaning of words. And we've gone over that. We've got a number of recordings on that, all kinds of articles that goes out to newsofviews.com, it's at hisholychurch.org on religion. They've changed the meaning of the word religion in your minds, and so when you read the word religion in the Bible, you don't know what they're talking about. And there's two different kinds of religion. Ones that operate by faith, hope, and charity and love, and the ones that operate by force. And from the beginning, John the Baptist was preaching against the one that operated by force by preaching proactively the one that is operated by faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. This, of course, is what Paul was preaching, was this religion based on faith, hope, and charity, this belief based on faith, hope, and charity, which is what Christ was preaching, love, faith, hope, and charity, charity and love, same words. And he was preaching this, and Paul was preaching this love. He said that if you don't have this love, it says charity, but it's the same word that is always translated love when Christ says it. Because he says that if I give everything I have away to the poor and I have not charity, wait a minute, how could you give everything away to the poor and not have charity? Because charity, the love that he's talking about, doesn't necessarily mean give everything away. It's a different kind of love. It's a powerful love. You give everything away so you have nothing, how will that heap hot coals upon the heads of your enemy? In itself, nothing, because it's not real love. Real love gives life. It's not just give away your stuff. But you have to be willing to let go of your stuff in order to have real life. But just to give it all away might not be love at all. You could kill an alcoholic by giving him $100. You know, a Skid Row alcoholic. And he can go out and buy so much whiskey, he'll kill himself. You don't want to give him $100. You want to get him cleaned up. You want him to change his ways. So anyway, this idea of this love that we're supposed to have for one another, which Christ preached, if you don't have that, then you don't really believe in Christ. You're not a believer. You just believe in artificial eschatology. And in the last show we talked about, you know, 1 Corinthians 15, how they read 1 through 4, but they don't understand what he's saying. He's talking about brethren who are doing what he says to do and what Christ said to do. Brothers, who is my brethren, did Jesus say? Was it those who say, Lord, Lord? No. He who doeth the will of my Father is my brethren. So Paul's talking about those who are doing the will of my Father. Didn't you read that in the first part of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1? Brethren, that means something. Because they're doers of the word. Paul's talking to doers of the word. He's not talking to people who aren't doers of the word. He's not calling them believers. Because they're not. They're not believers. They're not saved. And they're often workers of iniquity. It's really simple. It's not complicated. But if you shut your brain off to part of this very basic truth and understand it, then you're not going to get it. And you know who shuts their brain off like that? People who are dead to the Holy Spirit. Because they're not moving according to the Holy Spirit. They're moving according to their knowledge of good and evil that they have plucked from the tree of knowledge. That's right. They pluck information from the tree of knowledge. When they read the Bible, they're looking for quotes that promote what they say. People say, oh, you can't just pick and choose. And then they immediately begin to pick and choose. And when you point out, hey, what about, he's talking to brethren who are standing in the ways of Christ, the gospel, that the good news that he brought, that was the gospel of Christ. He's talking to them. He's not talking to people who aren't standing in the ways and remembering the ways of Jesus Christ and doers of the word because they're brethren. He's not talking about those who are not brethren and what makes them brethren. Christ told you, he who doeth the will of the Father. If you're not doing the will of the Father, Paul tells you to get away from those people. Stay away from them. And he goes in big long lists, and we'll get to that eventually. So anyway, on this page that we've been going over, preparingyou.com, in our wiki section of that site, which is mostly all wiki. Wiki is, you can actually put a page up there. You can become an editor. You can help build this site and preach the gospel of the kingdom. We have all kinds of pages there to get growing daily on health and health shares and remedies for problems and solutions and congregations and networks. If you go to thelivingnetwork.org, it's going to take you to the Preparing You page where you can sign up to a group in your area. And you can read these articles and you can help improve them. Like I said, I spent 3 hours this morning going through improving a whole section on the study of Romans. Paul's Romans, so that you actually understand it. Of course, it's not tickling your ears. It's very iconoclastic, but that's what we're giving you. So anyway, on this page of diverse lust, that's what you're going to look for, diverse lusts. And it'll open up a page there on that, preparingyou.com. And we're under the section Saved Believers. What is a saved believer? We need to define these terms. If modern Christians are going to say a saved believer is someone who trusts fully in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Well, that's true. But do you really trust fully in that? Or you do trust in men who call themselves benefactors and exercise authority? Do you covet your neighbor's goods? Do you follow in the ways of Christ? Or do you follow in the ways that make the word of God to none effect? Because the brethren are doers of the word. And so Paul's talking to brethren. So if you're not doer of the word, he's not talking to you. It's really simple. I mean, it's self-evident. But it won't be to zombies. The walking dead. They're not going to get this. They're going to go, that can't be true. Because then I'm not a believer. And I'm not saved. And I have to actually do something. You know, when it says saved by works, it's implying that you do $100 worth of work and you get saved. It's not about amount. Jesus was very clear on that. Who gave more? The widow or the rich man? It's not about being saved by works. It's about being saved by your repentance and Christ's grace. Prodigal son, turning around. Repentance, turning around. That's what it means. You got to turn around. Most modern Christians haven't turned around. As a matter of fact, they're going farther and farther away from Christ. But they think they're saved because the preachers keep tickling their ears and saying, oh, you're safe. Just keep walking this way. but that's a gospel born in hell. And there will, and those who promote it will have a lot to answer for. So the word believer, I go on and explain, the word believer only appears twice in the Bible. Twice in King James Bible. First in Acts 15:14, it says, "And believers were the more added to the Lord multitude, both of men and women." We see here translated from the pistio, a verb translated believe 239 times and believer once. It is from the noun for faith. It can mean to think, to be true, or place confidence in. So these believers are placing their confidence in when they got baptized. Multitude, men and women, Jews, were getting baptized by the thousands. And not, so that just all those guys, anybody who tells you Jews didn't accept Jesus Christ, tell them, blow it out your ear, because that ain't true. All the apostles were Jews. All these people that were being converted, that were there at Pentecost, a Jewish holiday, were being converted by the thousands to Christianity, which was the true form of Judaism. The others were the ones who said they are Jews, but they are not. They're not following the ways of Christ, the King of the Jews. They were following the ways of Rome, or Herod, or the Pharisees. So thousands upon thousands of Jews were converted to Christianity and became Jewish Christians, or Christian Jews, whatever you want to call it. They were citizens of Judea under Christ. And Christ appointed his kingdom to his apostles. I appoint unto you a kingdom. He said he was going to do it, take away. He did, gave it to them. That's the kingdom, folks. Is it fully manifested? No. There were still people being converted and changed and turning around. And for 1,000 years, these people inhabited all throughout Europe, doing things a different way. Dark Ages weren't so dark. There are guys calculating the circumference of the earth. They're in the Dark Ages. A monk. You know, I saw a show the other day where they have this monk in the 709 AD, supposedly coming out, and he's this superstitious mumbo-jumbo guy. You have no idea what the monks were like, what we call monks. They didn't call themselves monks back then. Were like, these were tough guys. These were go-to, get-it-done type people. And they weren't full of superstitious mumbo-jumbo, but they actually, there were healers amongst them. They were preaching a real gospel, a meaty gospel. These delusional guys that, and you know, the movie was just mocking religion because they don't understand. They were even advocating atheism. And of course, the funny thing is, Christians were all called atheists. That's what they're accused of, being atheists. That was the crime that many Christians were persecuted for. It's because they were atheists. Yeah. But you don't understand what that means. They did believe in God. They just didn't believe in the gods that you believe in. They didn't pray to the gods of Rome for their welfare. They prayed to the God of heaven. Well, they can't see the God of heaven, so they call them atheists. They can see the gods of Rome. Christians were persecuted because they wouldn't join the welfare system. And here we see in Acts 5:14, believers being baptized daily. What was happening when they got baptized daily? Multitudes of men and women being baptized daily. They were cast out of the welfare system run by the Pharisees to the government of Judea that used the temples, including the Temple of Roma, to provide welfare and benefits for the people. If you got the baptism of Christ instead of the baptism of John the Baptist, you were cast out. These people were opting out of a social welfare system based on forcing your contributions. These were the brethren that Paul's talking to. And he was talking to the Romans. They were opting out of the welfare system operated through the Temple of Saturn and the other temples of Rome. And they were now depending upon faith, hope, and charity. And in our series on Rome, we talk about some of those people who are actually relatives of Paul, who had been doing this a similar thing when they were in Britain, trying to convince people that they shouldn't depend on government welfare. They should create welfare systems based on charity. And there's still a stone in England with the name of Paul's nephew, where he built a public charity works with his personal contributions instead of government funds, encouraged other people to contribute as well. Rome used to do all their welfare in that way when they were a republic. But when they moved to an indirect democracy and then to an imperial power, they did that by creating welfare by the state. That's how the greatest destroyers of liberty are the givers of gifts, gratuities, and benefits. This separated Christians from unbelievers who did not believe in faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. They believed in force, which John the Baptist even said we weren't to do. If you have no coat, you just have to hope that your brother who has an extra coat will share with you. Or go out and earn the money and make yourself a coat. You can't pray to men to force your neighbor to contribute to you. That's the simplicity of the gospel. That's turning around. That's repenting. That's going the other way. And that's what they were doing in Acts 5:14. That's who the believers were. The ones who believed that we should not covet our neighbor's goods. I don't know how to make it any clearer. We also see in the words of 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. That's the other place you see the word believer. Two places. Acts 5:14, 1 Timothy 4:12. Believers. Here the word pistos, meaning faithful, is defined of persons who show themselves faithful in the transaction of business, the execution of commands, or the discharge of official duties. Two different words translated believer. One meaning placing your confidence in what? Faith, hope, and charity, and the perfect law of liberty, and the ways of Christ. And the other one meaning the discharge of official duties in the transaction of business and the execution of commands. Those are believers. Pistos. Let no man despise thy youth. He's in 1 Timothy 4:12. What else was he talking about in 1 Timothy chapter 4? Well, I'll let you go and read that, but we'll go on here. Here this word meaning faithful, discharging your duties. Remember, religion is the fulfillment of your duties to God and your fellow man. That's what it meant to Christians. That's what it meant in James when he talks about pure religion, to do that unspotted by the constitutional order and systems of government of the world. Do it only by charity, only by love. And you cannot do that well unless you network. And that's why the church was such a network. And that's why you see it. If you read the book, Thy Kingdom Comes, which we have free online, you can read. We show you the history of how the church was operating for hundreds of years. Starting with the gospel. And who Paul was talking to, the people that were operating according to those ways of Christ and were doers of the word. He was not talking to people who were not doers of the word. That word pistos does come from a word pathia, which means to persuade, to be persuaded, or even to trust, have confidence in. But as an adjective, it is defining someone who, because he is convinced or convicted of Christ and Christ's ways and what Christ taught and the gospel of Christ and the good news of Christ, he shows evidence of the faithful in the transaction of business of Christ, keeping the commandments of Christ, because Christ said so, and because he loves Christ. It's not a hard thing. If you don't really love Christ, if you love an artificially created image of Christ, you're going to find it really hard to keep the commandments, because you're not guided by the Holy Spirit. You're still guided by the flesh. You're not building the church established by Jesus Christ, because you're not operating from the revelation of Christ, because you're not even hearing him. You got to remember, if you don't go in the ways of God, he will not hear you. He will not hear your prayers. The devil will hear your prayers. He'll even grant some of them to keep you under a strong delusion. But the way in which he does it will be like the monkey's paw. Because the devil has a monkey's paw. And those of you who know the story of the monkey's paw know what I'm talking about. And those of you who don't, you just have to wait till I decide to tell it. The modern Christian often divests the word believer of needing to show the execution of commands. They say, no, a believer doesn't have to include the execution of commands of Christ, nor even be persuaded to seek and follow the ways he said to go and be, even though Christ said to strive. When they asked, are many in the kingdom or a few? And he says, strive. For wide is the way to destruction, narrow is the path. The modern Christian says, whoa, wide is the path, really wide is the path. As long as you think the right thought, you're saved. And here's a bunch of quotes that you can use to think the thought. Don't look at the first verse, only look at the fourth verse. Because we're into the business of picking and choosing. No, look at the whole thing. There's one gospel. Christ taught it, Paul taught it, and Paul taught you about things that are hard to understand. And if you start skipping what Paul says and only pick in certain parts and imagining that Paul was talking to you when he says, brethren, no wonder you're confused. Paul in 1 Timothy 4:12 is clear that believers should be an example of in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and purity. If they are not, that example we should be able to suspect, if not conclude, that they are not saved believers. Required outward evidence of belief is consistent with the teachings of Christ, who says we are to be doers of the word. That's what he says. He says we should be doers of the word. Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. But they say, oh, no, that doesn't count anymore. Jesus' words don't count anymore, huh? I don't think so. Matthew 7:24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, doeth them, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon the rock. Maybe we shouldn't call them modern Christians. We'll call them sandy Christians. Matthew 7:26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. Matthew 16:27. For the Son of Man shall come in his glory of the Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Oh my gosh! According to his works. What happened to the guy who didn't do anything with the talent that he got? Was he saved anyway? No, he had it taken away from him. And he ended up with nothing. Jesus said, well, you just keep it and go. He took it away from him. Matthew 12:50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. So who's your brethren now? Those who say but don't do are not your brethren, and Paul's not talking to them as believers. Matthew 6:2, verse 3 also. Chapter 8, verse 9. Chapter 18, verses 23 through 35. Chapter 19, 16 to 21. I can quote verses. I could go on and on and on. They're all on that page. Going through. And you can go to Luke. Luke 6:31. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. This is such a foundational, fundamental thing. If it's okay for you to take from your neighbor for your personal benefit, isn't it okay that your neighbor take from you for his personal benefit? Of course it's okay. That's something that we've discussed on the network just recently. And I should send them that quote, because they're out there thinking about, you know, taxes are illegal and unconstitutional. Bunk. We explain how the system works. You thought it was okay to take away from your neighbor, and now your neighbor's taken away from you. What's the big deal? Don't be surprised. But if you repent and stop taking from your neighbor, you have a chance to be saved. And you will need all the grace of God you can get, because you won't be able to do enough. We'll be back and we'll talk more about the doers and the brethren when we return to Keys of the Kingdom. Things seem to be going wrong in the world today. Every aspect of our life seems to be under attack sometimes. Many struggle to make sense out of it. What is really going on? Identifying the problem is critical to any solution. Many people claim to have answers. But what is the truth? What works? What has worked in the past? History does repeat itself, and you must learn from it. You have choices. We cannot change the course of history, but we may change our role in it. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. The question is, which way are you going? Join us to make sense out of it all for an iconoclastic look at the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and hear about the keys of the kingdom. Welcome back to the Keys of the Kingdom, and we're in our second hour on diverse lusts, and we're going through some of the verses that where Jesus Christ talks about being doers of the word. Now, are you going to be a doer of the word perfectly? No, but you got to at least be going in that direction, and that direction is far different than what modern Christians like to think. Real Christians were really changing their ways. They altered the direction they were going in their lives, in society, in their religion, everything. But their religion was for performance of their duty. Their belief required a performance of their duty to God and their fellow man. And God wants you to love your neighbor as yourself. This is the laws that Christ mentions, Paul mentions, Moses mentions. And we were quoting some of the do verses of the Bible, which include Mark 3:35, and I was just reading from Luke 6:31, but also you can go to Luke 6:46 and 49. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Moreover, cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them. Or whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built his house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not make it, shake it, or move it, for it was founded upon a rock. Is that where your faith is founded? No, no. Not if it's not based on doing what the Lord says. Why is it so hard to do what the Lord says? Because you don't have real faith. Your faith is invented by your imagination. You know, it's you're dead to real faith. This real faith is really changes you. It changes the flow of life in you. It opens your eyes, and you're no longer that zombie, that dead zombie religionist who goes around repeating verse upon verse, but never actually coming to a knowledge, an intimate knowledge with the fullness of the gospel, so that when you talk about what the Christians were really doing for one another, they don't see that. They don't think you need to, we don't have to do that. Like, God will save me. You know, it's really easy. God protects me. God saves me. Why? Well, I know some of you have actually started reaching out in real ways. But it's a journey. It's a process. Don't stop. Don't anybody says, oh, you don't have to do anymore. You've done enough. Forget it. That's not true. They're barking dogs again in the manger, not letting the oxen eat. You need to keep moving in the direction of God. It's like the prodigal son who says, oh, I've done wrong. I've sinned against my father. I'm going to go back. And I'm heading back, and I get to the first town, and the guy says, ah, don't go there. Come work for me. Ah, don't go back to your dad. You'll have to do things right the way your dad wants to do them. Hey, work for me. He'll end up in another pig farm situation. Don't stop. Keep going. Strive into there. Persevere is a word that Christ used. Luke 13:24. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Jesus is saying that. Paul did not come to overthrow Jesus. Paul was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we'll talk about that later in the series and show you all the places where Paul says he is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So therefore, you can't throw out what Jesus says and say, we don't need that anymore. You do need that. You need to be striving to enter at the straight gate. Can you do it alone? No, you still got to have grace, sure. John 3:20 and 21. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. This is why people hate it when I tell them this. Neither cometh to the light. They don't want to come. I don't need to come. I'm saved already. Lest his deed should be reproved. He doesn't want to say, oh, yeah, sure. I pray to men who exercise authority. Don't tell me that's wrong. I'm saved because I thought a thought. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. He's not going to hide under a bushel basket. He's not going to be sneaky and deceptive. He's going to be open and say, hey, look, this is what I believe. This is what I do. This is what I say. This is what I live. This is what I strive for. John 5:20. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these that ye may marvel. John 31, now we know that God heareth not sinners. Oh my gosh! You mean you can't keep sinning? Even though I thought a thought? I believed I was the brethren? I wasn't going to stand in the ways of the brethren, but I believed in the crucifixion. The devil believes that Christ was crucified. The devil believes he rose again from the dead. The only difference between the devil and Christians is that the devil doesn't want to do what Christ said. And the modern Christian minister says, you don't have to do what Christ said, you just have to believe. That's demonic. That's demonic. You're supposed to be striving for the straight way. I'm sorry. Your ministers have been deceived. But it's good news to know that. Because now you can repent and you can get them to repent by telling them they should repent. But beware, tell a zombie he's dead, he'll eat you up, he'll come after you, he'll fight against you, he'll hate you, he'll despise you, he'll want to shut you up. He doesn't want you to say, strive and seek the ways of Christ. He wants you to think you don't have to do anything. And I'm not saying that what you do earns you salvation. So yeah, you're still saved by grace. It's about direction. That's why they all start with repent. Change directions. And if you had been going that way, healthcare systems wouldn't scare you. Tyrants would. Goliath wouldn't scare you. You wouldn't be the underdog you are. You're the underdog because you're not going in with Christ. You got to go in with Christ. And you can't go in with Christ unless you're a doer of the word. You have to be following his ways. If you love him, follow his way. Because he doesn't hear sinners. That's what he just said. I know he doesn't hear sinners. I believe he doesn't hear sinners. I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. That's what Jesus says. John 13:15. Ephesians 6:8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Don't have to be bond or free. You don't have to get free. You have to turn around in your heart. God will make you free. You cannot save yourself. You cannot fill out papers and then, now I'm a sovereign. And now I'm free. Now I'm an ambassador to the kingdom. No. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth. Now what is a good thing? Helping the poor. Any poor? Well, the brother. You remember that when Jesus talks about those, he says, come into the kingdom. He says, because you fed me and you clothed me and you visited me and you gave me drink when I was thirsty and all this stuff. And they said, when did we do these things? He said, when you did them to the least of my brethren. That doesn't mean that you go out and feed everybody that's hungry and hope that some of them might be the brethren of Christ. You could be feeding demons. You could be feeding evil, wicked men so that they get their strength back and go and strangle somebody. How do you know who to feed and who not to feed? The Holy Spirit. You have to be seeking to do the will of the Father, not earn salvation. This is why it is important to know that it's not by anything other than grace. But it's important to know that you're on the right track, on Christ's track and Christ's way. Colossians 3:25. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. No respecter of persons, it says. Is it wrong to tell people they don't have to do anything when Christ said they do? Is it wrong to tell people they don't have to strive, seek the kingdom, or the righteousness of God, they just have to believe? It is wrong, because that's not what Paul was saying. He was talking to the brethren who had already repented and turned around and were going the other way. Read 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Read them carefully. Brethren, who are the brethren? Doers of the word, not hearers only. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, receiving your own selves, deceiving your own selves. Deceiving your own selves. If you're a hearer but not a doer, you're deceiving your own selves. You have believed a lie. James 2:17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. James 4:17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. This is where you've gotten. Because you don't really believe. Peter 1:14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Lusts. Remember, we started diverse lusts and we finally got around to the word lusts. Desires. You think lusts, oh, that's to sex. No. It just means desires. Things you want. I want free education. I want health care. I want Social Security. I want guaranteed benefits. I want. I gave money into Social Security. I want it back now. You gave money into Social Security to take care of the needy of society, because that was your religion. That's how you take care of the needy, widows, orphans, and needy of your society. That's what you were paying into. Someone actually said the other day that the government's supposed to take that money and invest it for our retirement. They don't invest that. They give it to the needy, and they get to decide who the needy is, because they're the priests of your religion. Because religion is how you take care of the needy. Read James. That's your religion. Those, you know, we should put everybody at the Social Security office needs to wear long robes down to the ground. They can wear black, red, white, I don't care what color, but they need to wear long robes. We should make that a rule. And you can do that for them, because they're all servants of that system. So that you know that those are the priests of your society. When you give them money, that's your sacrifice. That is your Corban. That's what the word means, Corban, means sacrifice. But that's the Corban of the Pharisees that made the word of God to none effect, because that's what Herod started, was a system of social welfare based on you get baptized, you're registered, you have to pay in. You're registered with the scribes in the temple, you have to pay in, and Congress, what they call the Sanhedrin, decides how much you pay in and how much you're going to get back. And there were riots at the time of Jesus Christ put down by Pontius Pilate because they said they were pilfering the money and there wouldn't be any money for their Social Security. That's right. You know, I repeat that many, many times. You hear that over and over again. But that's so foundational. Because how can you turn around unless you know where you're at? You don't want to just spin around and go back the same direction. You want to turn around and go the opposite direction, which is what the church was doing. All those people back there called believers in Acts that we talked about at the beginning, all those people, they were opting out of the social welfare system operated through the temple by the Pharisees and opting into a social welfare system operated by the church called Faith, Hope, and Charity and the Perfect Law of Liberty. And that's who Paul was talking to, is believers. Brethren, didn't you know that? You hear, but you don't hear. You see, but you don't see. You don't have eyes to hear and see with. And evidently, you've been brought under that delusion and deceived your own self. Don't pick and choose. I'm going all over the place and getting these quotes. You're picking and choosing. 2 Timothy, verse 6, chapter 3. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. And that doesn't have to be women. It can be effeminate men. Still fools they are. Remember the other quote that we said earlier about fools? Foolish men, Matthew 7:26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto foolish man. That's right. Likened unto foolish man. If we look at other places, if we go in here, I believe it's at Romans. Romans 1:16 down to Romans 21. Because of that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, we know the gospel of Paul, they become fools and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man and to birds and foolish beasts and creeping things. And when we go on to that, don't get carried away with the metaphor. You can create images. Remember back there he said, in their imagination. That's where it starts. In your imagination, you have created God. You have created a Christ. And you believe in that imagined Christ. But the real Christ said you were not to be the way that you have become. Where were you supposed to pray for your daily bread? Our Father who art in heaven, not our Father who art in Washington or in any of the other capitals of the world, Ontario, Sydney, or wherever you go to your welfare office. You're supposed to be taking care of one another by love for one another. That's what you're supposed to be doing. Not creating an image of Christ in your mind and worship that image and use the Bible to bolster that image which you have put up on a pedestal that has bits and pieces of the truth, but you exclude the other parts. You think Paul's talking to you instead of the brethren. You think that you're the brethren because you believe the second part, but not Christ. Because Christ said you had to be a doer. And you say, no, I don't have to be a doer. I remove the parts where Christ said I had to be a doer. And I'm only going to quote the parts where Paul says, all I have to do is believe. Even though Paul is talking about people who believe as people who are doers, who are executing their duty to God and their fellow man in pure religion, as James describes it. You see, I'm not picking and choosing. I'm picking the stuff you don't want to hear, and I'm telling you. To suggest that Paul's use of the term my gospel in Romans 2:16 somehow makes what Paul is preaching a different gospel is taking away the foundation of Paul, which is Christ. That is the very definition of unsound doctrine. Romans 2:16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. But what is my gospel? His gospel is Christ's gospel. And you need to be aware that his gospel is Christ's gospel. Paul in 1 Timothy 4:12 is clear that the believers should be this example of in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And if you're not, then I question. I demand that you look at the truth or falseness of this claim to be a believer. Because Paul says you should be this example in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. So we should really look at some of those words. I don't know if we have time to get all those. Maybe we'll do that in the next show. But if they were not an example, we should be able to suspect, if not conclude, that they are not the believers. And required outward evidence, belief inconsistent with the teachings of Christ, who says we are to be doers of the word and must bear the fruits of repentance. We see that in Matthew 3:8, bringing forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. In Luke 3:8, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father, or I say unto you that God is able to make stones to raise up children unto Abraham. He's talking about this the same way as you say that we're saved by the cross of Jesus Christ, and we don't have to be doers. We don't have to bear the fruits of repentance because we're believers. No, no. Christ is making it very clear that he can raise up children of God from unbelievers, people who say they don't believe in Jesus Christ. Why? Because they actually doeth the will of the Father. And Christ explains that in that parable about you come in. He's saying, us? Why us? We're not even believers, they're thinking. And to the believers, he says, you, I don't even know. Now, it's not that way, because there are those who say they are believers and understand Christ and understand the words like Christ and Jesus and all that stuff, and they are believers. But they are bringing forth fruits of repentance. Many who say they are believers are not bringing forth those fruits of repentance, and therefore we know they are deceived, self-deceived, fooled. And we must tell them so that they have a chance to repent and turn around. James insisted upon works. Peter, in not coveting and being entangled again in the elements of the world and cursing your children with debt. And we have footnotes on all that, shows you all the quotes on that page. But we're out of time. Until next week, may peace be with you, and may God bless you with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Till then, be good.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.